الحمدللہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام علی سید المرسلین وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین. اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. واعتصموا بحبل اللہ جميعا ولا تفرقوا صدق اللہ العظیم. Very respected ulamas and my dear elders, first of all I thank the organizers for organizing this very important and much needed conference. I firmly believe that if the ulamas become united, then the unity of the ummah becomes unstoppable. The solution lies here amongst the people who are sitting before me. On the day of judgment, the ulamas will not be able to escape Allah's court and be able to stand before Allah and say that they saw the disunity of the ummah and yet they did not come forward to save this ummah and unite this ummah. What I would like to do is share with you my humble opinion, not only that we should unite, but why did we disunite? And that is my, once we know the roots, then perhaps we can find solutions on the way back so that we can unite the ummah. In my humble opinion, when I read history, the first period of Islam, we will see something very unique, and that was power, knowledge, and the mission of the ummah was fused together into one body, into one strong community. The Sahaba, they were knowledgeable people, they were ulamas, yet they also had power, and they were able to implement their knowledge. And we see in that first period, they kept the attention of the ummah towards the great mission of Islam, shuhada ala nas, that they must become witnesses before mankind. So this is what we see in the early period. During the Khulafa'i Rashidin, this unity of power, knowledge and mission continued, and Islam continued to grow and reach the far corners of the earth. However, gradually as we read history, power, knowledge and mission started to disconnect and separate from each other. And consequently, the role of the knowledgeable people, the role of the ulamas, slowly, gradually narrowed down. And they became specialized in different areas, but they were cut off from power directly or indirectly. Ulamas played the roles of muftis, as qazis, as faqis, as khatibs, and as mudarris. However, in the first 1,000 years of the Islamic history, Islam continued to play a role in one way or another to guide and lead the Muslim ummah. During our decline over the last 300 years, we see before our own eyes, the West began to rise and emerge as a world power, and they started to colonize the world and colonized Muslim country after country. During this period, the role of the ulamas began to significantly reduce as every effort was made to demonize the ulamas and to squeeze Islam out of the mainstream society. Islam was squeezed out of the political system. Islam was squeezed out of the economic system, legal system, education system, and gradually squeezed and was squeezed into the confines of the mosque and to acts of worship and basic morality. And in some, most of the countries now we see in Muslim world, Western political models, Western legal systems, education systems, health models, and so on are imposed and they are established. And Islam is no longer guiding and shaping not only the Muslim country, they are not able to provide guidance for the rest of the world. During this period of decline, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mercy on the ummah and it brought forward a number of revivalist movements, and many individuals of great ulamas played a role in this. For example, we see the Sanusi movement, we see the Wahhabi movements, and these movements emerged both from the Shias and from the Sunnis. And some of the Jamaluddin Afghani we see Muhammad Abdul Rashid Rida, Ayatullah Kashani, Hasan al-Banna, Sayyid Nursi, Sayyid Madudi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Sayyid Qutb, and all these other great scholars. They went and tried to understand why the Muslim Ummah is suffering and how can we regain our glory. And they tried to grapple with these important issues and they came to certain conclusions. Their conclusion is that we have left Islam from the mainstream society. We have reduced Islam to few do's and don'ts and few acts of worship. Until we do not go back to the Quran and the Sunnah and begin to apply Islam in solving our economic, social, political, economic problems, we will not be able to regain the leadership of the Ummah. So the conclusion was to reconnect knowledge and power and the mission of the Muslim community. Does anybody agree here that our mission is kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna lil munkar, enjoin good and forbid wrong, to become shuhada alan-nas, to do the work of dawah, to bring light to the world? All Muslims, irrespective of their school of thought, they all unite. The mission of the Ummah was able to unite the people. Today we have unity conferences, yet there is no cause to bring the people together. We pass resolutions, yet after the resolutions, we don't see that unity. In Birmingham, our ulamas have tried again and again for the last 15 years. At least can we unite on the new moon issue? Year after year, decisions are made. Now we are going to rebuild the Ummah, yet we cannot solve our immediate problem. I think the solution is here, the problem is here. So efforts are required by scholars to come out of the mosques and to apply Islam to the emerging problems. And Dr. Lama Khalid Sahab drew our attention. Let us at least start solving the problems here in the UK. You will begin to see unity. I will give you one example. I am at the Markfield Institute of Higher Education. We teach masters in Islamic banking and finance. And I can tell you with full confidence that 95% of the views of the scholars in Islamic banking and finance is merging, and they have unity in that. Why? Because they put their mind onto a practical problem, and I can't see disunity amongst them. Once we start applying our hearts and minds to real issues, you will begin to see people working together. So for my message is, when we begin to rise above our small minor differences and put our heads together to rebuild a new society and a new world rooted on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when we begin to apply Islamic sources and principles derived from it to find solutions to real issues and problems, then you will see the unity of the Ummah will become unstoppable. And the role of the ulamas will be enhanced. The respect of the ulamas will be enhanced. Today, the ordinary people are losing their respect for the ulamas because all they see is disunity and disunity and disunity. I will give you just one example. I'm sorry, my time is running. I am wearing before you tie, coat, and so on. There were two people I met. One was wearing the traditional Islamic clothes, and the other one was wearing this. We were discussing about the new moon issue, and they started to fight with each other. Then because they could not win the arguments, one said, you are a westernized, you are secularized because you are copying the kafirs in the clothes. And the other person said, you are a kafir. So that's how they were saying that Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl also wear the same clothes as the Prophet. So I said, look, my duty as a teacher was, look, sit down. Your brotherhood is more important. Can you promise me that you will both go back and do research on the clothes and what does Islam say? They promised me 2 weeks I gave them, and I was quite impressed at the research which they did. They left a lot of the friction which was between them. They did not agree with themselves, but they came to a lot of unanimity. Then I gave them another 2 weeks and I intervened. I did not impose my view on them. I really believe if the scholars start doing real research, then there is no reason why they should remain disunited. The Ummah is looking for unity amongst the ulamas, and inshallah you will see the Muslim community in this small island. If we unite, we can become a role model for the rest of the world. Because here in UK, we have the mini ummah. We have Muslims from every corner of the earth, from every school of thought. If we can, for the sake of Islam, for the sake of the ummah, and the sake of the future of our children, rise above these differences. Let's put all the problems before ourselves and start addressing them one by one. Inshallah, you will see the ummah will become very strong, and our children, our grandchildren will respect us. And when we die, they will pray for us that these ulamas, these elders, brought the people together and gave them some kind of dignity. Otherwise, Islamophobia, demonization of Islam, and making a mockery of the Prophet ﷺ and Islam, it will continue. The cause, solution are in the people who are sitting here. I am very hopeful that today all the ulamas will promise and they will rise to this challenge so that we can start working together. There is very little differences. At the Markfield Institute, I have Brelvi students, Deobandi students, Shia students. And we try our best to make them understand and appreciate the differences. They should appreciate the difference rather than seeing them as Islam and Kufr conflicts. And the students, after 1 year, they say, we thank the Markfield for giving us that understanding and that tolerance. May Allah help us to unite, and may Allah make a good future of the Muslim Ummah in this country and the world.